The Breakfast Show on Faith FM. And you know what? I'm a little bit breathless because while the songs were playing, we all got up and jumped around for a minute.
What do you call it?
Blood flowing.
I know. They're like, we failed to do this thing. And I'm like, what? Tell them what you told me.
That little segment that's off air is the Adventicostal dance time.
Where they, exercise.
They made me jump around. We all jumped around. Just as well, there are no recordings of this.
Yeah, soon we'll be
on video,
running cameras.
Just
and stuff
as well,
in here.
Our audience we'll can't see. Oh, so we're going to be like the perfect storm because they've got video for their program.
We're going to be
better than them.
We're going to be better than the perfect,
perfect
storm.
Weather.
Perfect weather because they're down in Canberra, so it's like. Wow, Canberra is like freezing. Yeah. Imagine Canberra, living in Canberra, wintertime. So we spare a thought for our friends in Canberra, the nation's capital.
If you are only just tuning in right now, you missed out on a really great segment in our first hour. We were talking about Nehemiah. We were talking about the Feast of Tabernacles and personal wilderness seasons. So if you want to catch up on that, you can go check it out on the Faith FM after it is released later today. But coming up ahead in today's show, we will also be talking about 3,000 eye surgeries that recently took place all in one hit. Fauci exposed. We're going to be talking about
Fauci. You said 4G.
4G? Fauci. Fauci. I don't clearly follow who this guy is or what he's on about.
Oh my
God. Up your alley. I am so sorry. I butchered his name. We're going to be interviewing Simon Pedzinski about the body clock and the circadian rhythm. We're also going to be talking about liberty and love as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But right now, we have a new quiz question.
It's ready? A fill-in-the-blank one for today, okay?
You can get this, April. All right, I believe
you. Oh, wait. Okay, I don't think Danny's ready.
Danny. Oh, I'm ready. Well, now I am.
All right, fill-in-the-blank. Therefore, let us not blank one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fail in our brother's way. Romans 14:13. What's our missing word there? Fill in the blank. Therefore, let us not blank one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. What is that missing word I got?
Depends what version. Depends what version of the Bible we're dealing with.
You give me whichever one you know. That's fine. I look up version options. 0491-064-669 is our text line for you to text in what you think the answer is to that one. 0491-064-669. We're missing a word from Romans. Lindsay has just sent me through a blank. She's filled in the blank with a blank.
Did you read that once more?
I can indeed. Therefore, let us not blank one another anymore.
See, I got it right.
But rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. It's from Romans 14, verse 13.
Okay.
Romans 14, verse 13. You might need to look it up. I didn't realize it'd be quite this hard, but it obviously is.
I've got a blank on this one well and
just,
truly.
Just so literally draw a blank. That's what I got. So right now, Shell is winning.
Yep. I'm just looking up all the different versions here just in case it did give
Something
me
Something like that. No. That last one.
Look. You're so close. But
so close.
No,
I thought I was miles away.
I don't think that one is actually any of one of our options. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, well, too bad. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
It's a bump, bump.
Am I allowed to look in it?
You can now.
Oh, now. It's all over.
But don't read it out.
Yeah, just whatever you do, don't give the answer.
Well, yeah, I was close-ish. Yeah.
I think Janelle's got a good response to it. I'm going to give her a yes for that one. Mm-hmm. That's quite good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine was close. Yeah. As I read the text, I'm like, yeah.
Like, oh, so obvious. How did I not get that right? But yeah.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah. You are correct.
Okay. Let's have this eye story.
Yeah, let's go. Right. We're going to be...
Good news story.
Going to the other side of the world right now. We're going to go to the sunny Caribbean islands.
Wouldn't you want to be
Can
there right
now? Can
we
really do that, please?
Yes.
Yeah. It's beautiful over there from what I understand. Nice and warm and sunny and beautiful beaches. And you know what? There's a hospital in Trinidad and Tobago where there has been 12 days of a surgical marathon taking place. There were 3,000 people who regained vision free of charge. Guess who is to thank? Guess who has helped this take place?
The Seventh Adventist Church.
Yes.
How did I guess?
Just because it's the best one. So the Seventh Adventist Church, who organized and donated cataract and pterygium surgery work through this community hospital, they partnered with nonprofits Hands International and Eyes for India, and they just came up with this idea. Let's give all of these people who can't afford it eyes. Like, we're going to just fix their vision for free. Isn't that beautiful? Like, people in local churches in that area and from the US as well have all just donated money so that this can take place. And there have been volunteer surgeons who have rocked up for 12 days, taken time off, not taking any pay whatsoever, so they can come and fix people's eyes for free.
I mean, you know, to have your eyes back, it would be an incredible gift.
Absolutely.
An incredible gift. We take that for granted.
But
imagine
do.
You did not have your eyes. You know? Yeah. So, and those surgeries happened very, very quickly. Like how many? 3,000?
3,000. Yeah. They were able to do 450 per day.
Yeah.
For 12 days.
Yeah. I think they can do it like within minutes. They have the ability and technology today to operate within minutes and restore people's sight. It's incredible. Incredible.
Absolutely. But like what just strikes me is the love and the organization that it takes to make something like this happen.
Yeah.
You need the money organized for this to take place with the technology, with everyone turning up at the same place, the same time, for surgeons to fly out from wherever they live, for surgeons to actually like leave their work at a regular hospital in the US or somewhere else and say, I'm not going to take money and I'm going to take my personal leave time to keep working in much worse conditions than I'm used to doing. Mm. How much love and self-sacrifice is that right there? Like, we have a whole team of people organizing this so that the people who need it most are able to turn up to the location at the right time and to wait and to be organized into going through this process. Like, this is a whole massive team effort. And this is something I really love about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is that we are organized for mission.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's why the church exists. Mm. That's why it came into existence at the beginning. Through mission. It was to serve. And I mean, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus came to serve. And so we are invited to serve. And all I know is that whenever I serve someone in a country where they don't have much, you feel greater blessings, far greater blessings than even those that you serve. And so it's just beautiful. And so I know that those surgeons would have experienced incredible blessings by donating their time, their skills, and everything else in order to serve.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think it's really important that as a church, we're sharing the gospel, which is not only just the words of God, but it is the love of God. It is the restoration that he offers, the physical healing as well as the spiritual healing and restoration. All of this goes hand in hand. And this is exactly what Jesus did while he was on earth. He went around, he was mixing with the people as somebody who's looking for their good, trying to find ways to help everyone who came in contact with, whether it was to encourage them or to speak some kind of words of life and truth into their hearts, or whether it was to physically lay hands on them and heal them of blindness many times in the Bible in various different ways, or leprosy or any other kind of disease or lameness, whatever it might be. Jesus used healing ministry hand in hand with sharing the love of God.
Amen. Amen. And someone has pointed out that Jesus probably spent more time healing than he did preaching.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the Bible speaks of Jesus preaching, teaching, and healing over and over again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and occasionally raising the dead.
Yeah, that's true. There are three resurrections, I believe, if I remember correctly, yes, in Jesus' ministry. So this goes hand in hand, the gospel, the spoken word, and acts of service go hand in hand, and very, very, very important, especially even in our culture here in Australia. As the old saying goes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah, you exactly.
Know? And it's so, so true.
And to have physical healing offered and to have that basic need met is going to open someone's heart more to having their spiritual and emotional needs met as well.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're listening to this story and you're thinking, I want to get involved in helping share the gospel or even help people with their basic needs, whether it's a healing type of ministry, even if you don't have the training for it, we want to hear from you because we have so many contacts that we can get you in touch with. Mm. And if you want to, yeah, get in touch with somebody somehow, we can pass your details along to the right people or theirs to you. So text us in to 0491-064-669. We're happy to hook you up with the right people.
Mm. Oh, look, there's no greater joy and blessing than serving in a third world environment and offering your skills and abilities, especially in the medical field.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be thoroughly blessed. You'll want to go back again and again and again.
Yeah, I remember just 2 years ago when I was over in PNG preaching for a couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, I was there as well. Wasn't that exciting?
It was so exciting. What town were you in?
I was in a place called Nuku Station out in the West Sepik, way up the top there in PNG, in the middle of nowhere. It was incredible. Loved it.
I was at Ayura near, I'm forgetting the name of the place, but it was in the Western province also.
Enjoying beautiful fruit.
Near Goroka, out that way. The sugar fruit was the best. But I remember that right before the preaching took place, there were so many medical missionaries out there also helping people with eye surgeries and all sorts of other different medical teams that opened the way for hundreds of thousands of people to give their lives to Jesus.
Amen.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We now have a quiz answer. What was that answer, please, producer Shell?
So it was a fill in the blank, which was much harder than I was expecting it to be for everybody.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
The answer was judge.
Judge.
Or criticize. Those are the two ones.
Or condemn in the New Living.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It was, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fail in our brother's way.
Yeah, it was really hard to figure it out from the rest of the verse. It didn't really seem to fit correctly, at least not the way
I think. Didn't help.
Didn't help, yeah.
Okay.
What were you thinking, Danny?
I wrote resent.
Okay.
At first I wrote hate, and then I wrote resent. Yeah. And,
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Resent, hate, criticize, yeah.
They're kind of synonyms in a way, but judge is a bit different because
judge is judge. Look, I know what it's like to be judged.
So. Yeah, that's right.
Are you a bit judgy too sometimes?
No, I don't judge anyone. I'm not judgmental, but other people are very judgmental towards me, but I'm never judgmental.
It's everybody
towards
else
others.
That's the judgmental.
Exactly.
Poor little old me. Yeah.
I'm very good at judging those who are judgmental. I'm very good at that.
Got you.
I'm a very good discerner of judgmental people.
Right.
Love it.
Let us move on.
Speaking of,
what have you? You're talking about. Is it Fauci?
Fauci. Well,
I got it wrong earlier. Fauci.
Yesterday, as I was taking my little best mate for her walk, you know, have you seen my little cavoodle, my tiny toy cavoodle?
I don't think I have.
Have you seen her?
Why didn't you bring her into the studio today?
Oh well, I could.
Next time.
I should one day. little Gracie or Dis Gracie, as I call her, when she's a bit over the top. Sure. But anyway, as I was having my walk last night just around the neighborhood there with her, I tuned in to the episode on The Perfect Storm, giving them a big shout out. Great show down from Canberra, The Perfect Storm, with Justin and Kyle and Phil and now Morgan, Storm and Morgan. You know Morgan Vincent?
all of the Vincent boys are on the Faith of Him
now. I'm telling you.
Really?
There's not a high standard at all. There's not a high standard at all on Faith of Him. Anyway, good old Morgan Vincent.
Because his two brothers are on The Bottom Line, which is a live show out of our studio here.
That's on a Thursday, isn't it?
On Thursdays at 1:30, and I hear that you co-hosted one day.
Yeah, I did. You filled in for... Yeah, I don't think they'll have me back. I think I've burnt the bridge. It's demolished. It'll never come back, that bridge.
That wasn't the response I was getting.
No. I had a lot of fun with Brother Rui. Rui. Yeah. Anyway. So I was tuning into their latest episode, episode 91. Wow. So can you believe it? They've been going for a while now. And anyway, and the title of the episode was, and I was watching it on, well, listening via YouTube, the Faith FM YouTube, was Fauci Deceived the World. And I'm like, well, I always knew that from the moment that he opened his mouth. Fauci deceived the world. But I'm like, okay, there must be something new because I scroll through my ABC news feed every day to see what the news are. And that's obviously a very left-leaning ABC news, as everyone should know well and truly. And they didn't carry this story for obvious reasons. And so...
Doesn't fit the story.
And so the Perfect Storm gang, they were just railing. I've never seen them rail like I saw them rail.
Oh.
Like they were going to town. Like, you know how Justin can be a little bit off his tree at the best of times? Like, he was he was totally unhinged. Totally unhinged. I'm like, go, Justin. You are going to burst a blood vessel any moment now.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that episode.
Oh, you're going to have to. Anyway, he was just like, there was barely a welcome to the Perfect Storm. He was right into it, you know.
Oh, mate.
And anyway, so I'm like, what happened? So anyway, so they're discussing what took place. So Anthony Fauci, in case people don't remember who Anthony Fauci is, he was in charge of COVID. Well,
he was in charge of COVID, pretty much.
Look, in the United States of America, he was the chief medical advisor to the president. Okay. Oh. So he was the person that was there before the cameras giving the United States people advice on what they should and what they shouldn't do during COVID. Okay. So from when he opened his mouth, he just looks sus to me. You know how some people just look sus?
Yeah, you're like, I don't trust you.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the non-judgmental.
The non-judgmental people.
Discerning.
Like when I look at Lindsay, totally non-sus. Look at Shell, non-sus. But one look at Fauci, and I'm not judgmental, as I already pointed out, but he just looks super duper sus. Anyway, when he opened his mouth and started sharing some of the things that he shared, I could smell a rat immediately. I could see that there were these hidden agendas and so on and so forth. And guess what? The truth has come out. The chickens come home to roost eventually, as we all know. Okay. So he appears before a Senate hearing there in the United States of America. And the headline was Anthony. So I'm reading from BBC News. So this all just happened in the last 24 hours. Anthony Fauci refuses to answer questions during tense U.S. Senate hearing about COVID origins. All right. So this former U.S. top health official, Anthony Fauci, refused to answer questions in regards to COVID-19, over 100 times. Now, Shell would know what this all means when you plead the Fifth Amendment because you're an American.
Because it might incriminate you and you don't want to, so you can plead the Fifth if you're testifying against yourself.
So for over 100 times, he pleaded or he invoked the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution. He did not want to answer one single question. It was like, I mean, I just saw highlights of a few questions that he was asked and statements that were put to him, and he was just there.
What were some of those? Do you remember?
Well, they were in connection with the origins of COVID.
Yeah.
Supposedly from a wet market that he was like swearing black and blue that's where COVID came from. And we know that it came from the Wuhan virus
lab.
And this gain of function, you know, have you heard of gain of function? Okay, gain of function is where they manipulate viruses to see how they'll go and so on and so forth. Like they actually produce the viruses.
Yep.
And this and this COVID virus literally leaked out of this lab that he was pumping money in.
Ooh.
That America was not supposed to be putting money into this gain of function research, because it's like, you know, if it gets out there, it's so deadly. It's like you know, playing with a nuclear weapon.
Mm.
You play with a nuclear weapon, there's a good chance
you're going to go boom at some point.
Exactly, and a whole bunch of other people are going to boom with you. So anyway, yeah, this was just so incriminating, him not wanting to answer any questions. And we could, I mean, I already knew. Like, when COVID happened, I'll just say it as it is. When it happened, because I'm outspoken, and I was very outspoken, and the people in my church, some of them appreciated me being outspoken about it, some of them didn't. It is what it is. So I'm not sharing anything that's brand new here on this program that I haven't shared before on the Looking Up show or in church in sermons. The bottom line is, when I saw COVID, when it began to roll out, it wasn't more than a week or two into it, and what I was hearing from our government and governments around the world, I could smell a rat, because I could see that this was what the Bible describes in miniature, or in a small way, what's going to happen at the end of time.
Mm.
Where there's coercion, where there's deception, where there's a whole bunch of other things that are not how we do things in a democratic, free speech society. For example, when there was only one narrative that was put forth by governments around the world, and there were other narratives out there, right? There were others who were saying, like reputable health professionals who were saying, hey, there could be another way of how to treat this virus, how to deal with this, and they were cancelled, they were muted, they were muzzled, you fill in the blanks, and I could clearly see that there was a problem. People lost jobs, there were all sorts of rules that were put in place, people were arrested, especially where you were at the time in Melbourne.
Yep.
You know, people sitting in a park, you know, were arrested. And a whole bunch of other horrible, draconian measures were put in place. This is like communism.
Yeah.
You know, this is like communism. This is dictatorship rule. And we saw that, and I could see the writing on the wall. So I did three things. I encouraged people to pray for our leaders. I wrote to our prime minister. I wrote to our premier, and I got a response back from our premier, and she appreciated prayers and so on and so forth. I encouraged people to pray for our leaders. I encouraged people to respect one another. I saw people falling out. You know, I saw people, friends, family members falling out. I saw liberty of conscience. Oh, we're running out of time. I saw liberty of conscience. I saw a whole bunch of things. So anyway, this was like a small, I actually need about 5, 10, 15, 30 more minutes for what I'm about to say, but we don't have that. But anyway, the bottom line is that this, what took place there in America has exposed that we can only trust God. We can only trust his word. We cannot trust humans.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes they're well-meaning, sometimes they're not well-meaning. God only knows, but what I saw was not helpful. So anyway, Fauci, he is in a lot of trouble, and just because Joe Biden gave him a preemptive pardon before he left office doesn't mean anything. So anyway, I'm praying for Fauci, but I know it's not going to go well for him.
All righty.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We now have a interview with Simon Pedzisky. I don't know if I said that right, Simon. How are you going today?
Good morning. Yes, you did. You did perfectly well, Pedzisky.
Good morning, Simon. I know this gentleman is a top bloke.
Is he?
Top bloke, yes.
Great.
Very kind, very kind. Good morning, Denny.
Good morning, Dr. Simon. We only have the best here on The Breakfast Show.
Very kind.
Okay. Now, I believe we will be chatting about the body clock and the brain clock. What have you got to tell us about that this morning?
Yes. So the body clock is something that people don't tend to talk about a lot or pay as much attention as they should. But this is otherwise known as the circadian rhythm. So it's our internal 24-hour timing system, you know, that most people might say, you know, body clock or brain clock. But it's the one that helps to regulate when we sleep, when we wake up, when we eat, when we think, when we move, and, you know, our hormones, our immune system, our metabolic function, and how the cells actually, you know, follow through repair work, or maybe, you know, binary division to in order to multiply and replace themselves. It's also the clock that's responsible for you know, our energy, our mood, our concentration, and overall our health. So it's important to talk about, because when it's disrupted, then it affects our health and our health.
Okay. Hey, thanks for that little introduction. So looking at the circadian cycle, it seems our bodies are programmed to do different things at different times of the day. Like, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, yes, absolutely. It is programmed to do certain things. Now, our bodies are not designed to just operate at the same level throughout the day. The circadian rhythm, what it does is it coordinates the body's alertness, the body's temperature, the body's blood pressure, hormone production, digestion, and physical performance. So when you think about it, it's like having an orchestra and a conductor. And therefore, you know, when you look at the body clock itself, it's helping us to biologically be able to maintain every function that makes us who we are, and therefore then that body clock needs to be in sync in order for it to perform very well and therefore help us to be in good health.
Oh, cool. So I have a little clock at home and sometimes it stops ticking correctly and I have to like push the hands back into the right place. Can that happen in our bodies as well? Can our bodies go out of sync, and what can we do to fix it?
Yes, so our bodies can go out of sync, and mainly that is due to lifestyle choices that we might make. So, for example, if you're going to sit up on Facebook, on Twitter, or, you know, watching movies late into the night, that can offset your body clock, especially when you do that repetitively. If you decide that you're going to be, you know, eating at night instead of eating during the day, again, that can offset the body clock. And so the simplest and easiest thing to do is, when your body clock is offset, the way to reset it is just quite simply think about some of the lifestyle practices and choices you're making that should actually be done in the day and those that should be done at night, and make sure that you're separating those two and creating a very distinct rhythm, where if you're meant to be sleeping at night, then you're sleeping, not watching while sleeping. If you're meant to be active during the day, then that's not the time to be spending, you know, maybe taking a nap, because then that affects how much you sleep at night.
Okay, so does the physical light of the sun or darkness have an impact on the way that we do things on our body clock?
Yes, it does. So light is the most powerful signal for setting our biological clock. So morning sunlight, for example, tells the brain that it's time to wake up, it's time to be alert, it's time to be active. And as daylight fades, the brain begins to produce, you know, other neurotransmitters, hormones such as melatonin, and that helps the brain to, you know, change the clock into night mode and help us to sleep well. So light exposure is absolutely critical during the day, and also then reducing light exposure at night is equally as important to keep in sync within that body clock.
So doctor, the chickens, our friends the chickens, they have it right on, because they wake up as the sun gets up and they go to bed as the sun goes down.
Yes. And do you know what, Danny?
If you have a chicken brain, if someone accuses you of having a chicken brain, you've probably got a very good brain.
And that's probably why the chickens were created before us. You know, just an example.
To be an example. I've never thought about that insight. Now, that's gold.
But in his wisdom, you know, he knew what he was doing.
I told you this doctor was a good doctor. We've got only the best on the Breakfast Show.
He's teaching us about chicken brains.
So if you want to reset your body clock, go and buy a chicken, right?
Exactly. Have a few chickens in the backyard, and what they do, follow them.
Oh, dear. That's it. Oh, man. Back to the serious things. So there's a diagram that shows melatonin production starting around 9 p.m. and stopping around 7:30 a.m. Why is melatonin so important, and what can interfere with its production?
So melatonin is often called the darkness hormone. It helps the signals, you know, that tells the brain that it's time to sleep. So what you'll find is that, you know, things like blue light from our phones, our tablets, you know, the TV, or bright indoor lighting can delay the release of melatonin, making it harder to sleep. And that's why reducing screen time and dimming lights in the evening can become such a positive effect on sleep quality.
Hmm. Right. Can LEDs and very modern forms of lighting be like, can we adjust what type of light that we use in our homes or our screens so that it's better for us and not impacting our hormones so much?
Well, sad to say, there's no new technology that can replace the natural darkness, because what the brain needs is total darkness for it to actually be able to know that I need to produce the darkness hormone. Otherwise, the body clock will actually be sort of tricked into, you know, when you're stimulating your melanopsin cells, your optic nerve, then that tells the brain that, oh, you know, it's not yet time to completely shut down. So I would say any form of light, doesn't matter what light it is likely going to impact on your sleep. However, I do know that there are some people who, you know, can sleep regardless of light, but also can sleep regardless of an earthquake going on, right?
So, not me. You know,
so for some people, it's not an issue. But for most people, especially if you're already struggling with sleep, I would say total darkness is going to be your best friend.
Like, follow the example of the chickens. They always sleep in the corner of the coop.
Correct.
My sister has chickens, and I see that's their hot spot. You know what I mean?
They go to the darkness.
They go to the corner of the coop, you know, where it's darkest.
I have a question. So how much does this affect children? Because a lot of children are afraid of the dark. Parents will put a night light or leave some sort of a light so that they're not in darkness. Is that something that will actually harm a child, or is it just something that might cause a bad habit for later in life?
Yeah, so here's the thing. These interventions are temporary. It's like plaster on a wound, which later on, because it's too covered much, is likely going to get infected over time. So I think if you have a child that's scared of the darkness, I think addressing why they're scared is going to be more important. Think about whether, Danny, I know you talked about the coop, which is a safe place. Mm. What is it that's causing them to be anxious, especially in darkness? And what are they worried about? Addressing that and helping them to be able to build that confidence of being in their own space and knowing that, you know, Christ and the angels are going to be present and supporting them. I think that's the thing that the devil sometimes uses, knowing that later on, if he affects the brain development, particularly for kids whose brain is still developing critical, you know, structures and neural connections up to the age of 10, then they will struggle for the rest of their life, and their ability to concentrate, ability to maintain that body clock, ability to then, you know, be in sync with God and the Holy Spirit as our bodies are the temple, that becomes affected. So I would say, look at it from not a lens of it's just a simple intervention, but actually think of it from a spiritual perspective and you will see a completely different outcome.
Mm. Wow. That's mind-blowing. We've got Shell, we've got the hand motions of mind-blowing over in the corner here.
Well, this is just so relevant, Lindsay and Shell, because we're living in a day and age, and Dr. Simon, you can vouch for this, but we're living in a day and age where young people, especially teenagers, have got phones with them. They take their phones to bed, and they are so prone to utilizing their phones at all hours. This is, and no wonder.
And a lot of people just leave the TV on through the whole entire night because they say that's the only way that they can sleep.
And so the mental health crisis that we find today, especially amongst young people, according to the Australian government stats, is enormous. And it's all really skyrocketed in a major way in the last 20 years, especially since the advent of the smartphone. Do you have anything to share on that, Doctor?
Absolutely. So here's the thing. There are two areas that I spend most of my time investigating and researching and looking into. Number one, in Australia, why is it the number of kids diagnosed with ADHD is increasing more than 2.5% per capita compared to the rest of the world? Why is it dementia is the leading cause of death, you know, in Australia, when in other, you know, first world countries, it's actually number, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow. And yet it's not a normal process of aging. It's because how we support our brain to build resilience, particularly in two stages when our brain is developing 0 to about 10, 11, which is the first stage of development. And the second stage of development between about 11 to about 25 when the brain stops growing, how we allow our brain the space and the scope to be healthy and resilient affects the rest of our life. So when our body clock is offset, and your brain cells are not being sort of replenished or replaced, and you've got free radicals developing in your brain, and you've got brain fatigue, and then you've got brain fog, then you can't concentrate, then you can't easily be stimulated by anything else apart from the things that then cause addiction, then you start to see why there's a trend in young people where addiction is rising. And when they can't then get their brain stimulated because their addiction gets to a peak, then you start to see, you know, suicidal thoughts. Then you start to see complete breakdown from a mental health perspective. So, you know, there's a direct link here between the body clock and everything else that we're seeing, particularly nowadays.
So, wow. So we have a trend that's been going on for probably close to 10 years now, where parents are giving their very, very small children iPads or phones or anything like that. We call this generation iPad kids sometimes. What is that doing to their brains and to their futures?
Well, that's an interesting topic. So put it this way. If your brain develops 50% of its neural pathways and connections between the age of 0 to 10, we know that when you're spending time on screen, especially given that everything that we have now, whether it's Facebook, whether it's cartoons, whether they've got a screen reference of about 3 seconds where the picture, the motion, the color, the form has to change. Mm. And the way it's designed is to actually keep you concentrated. But how do you keep the brain concentrated with those features? By hypnotizing the frontal lobe. And what is the frontal lobe responsible for? Thinking, behavior, movement, memory, reason. Executive function, and reason. And so there was a study that was done in America, and I think it was published. I was looking at it beginning of the year, where they were saying all generations from the beginning of time being measured in terms of generation sort of intelligence from one to the other. And these records we started something from the 1800s. They noticed that every generation was smarter than the previous generation up to until 2000s.
Wow.
And when they were looking at why, it was the introduction of technology in schools.
Wow.
And then beyond that, introduction of technology at home. And therefore, when kids are, another interesting point in the UK, I think public health sort of support, I was reading something again a few months ago where, you know, the government is now advising to say kids before, you know, who are up to the age of 5, I believe, they shouldn't be, you know, spending time on screen where possible. And that's because it's acknowledged that brain development slows down, particularly when you're hypnotizing the frontal lobe and slowing it down. There's a reason why kids are born with big heads.
Yeah.
Okay? It's because the rate at which the brain develops, particularly in those early stages, is fast. And therefore, the brain, you know, the skull is already
prepared,
accommodating the rate at which the brain is going to develop. But when you slow it down, then you start to see a lot of these conditions that kids are going to be diagnosed with at a young age. But also it means that the circadian rhythm is going to be offset from a young age, and therefore it becomes normal. So later on, when those kids are starting to experience, you know, metabolic function issues, you know, they've got diabetes, they've got all these other conditions that are autoimmune related, which are also, by the way, rising if you look at, you know, current trends, then you can almost see the link between the body clock, the body function, and the gadgets and equipment that we use in order to offset that clock.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Wow, this that was so insightful.
A fascinating segment.
One of the best health interviews I have heard.
100%. Yeah,
Danny, you're always very kind.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And this is so relevant.
Yeah.
So, so relevant. So thank you, Dr. Simon.
Yeah, it's been
most
a real
welcome.
Blessing having you share with us today.
You're we started. Welcome.
Yeah, speaking of technology.
Yes, someone is always listening all the time.
Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.